this tax exemption eludes me like a gazelle eludes an arthritic cat.
Why can't Canby people keep track of their dogs? Like, what is...
To do that, you can't be stupid with guns.
Yeah. Set the board is saying they want to make Canby schools great again.
It feels like we've been doing this interview for years.
Inside of me was screaming.
You run for school board, you win or you die.
There's no second place.
Welcome to the Canby Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
I'm Joy Sturby.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a monopole. That is the 130-foot 4G wireless communications tower proposed by AT&T, more commonly known as a monopole, was approved by the Canby City Council on Wednesday. The decision overturned an earlier ruling by the Canby Planning Commission, who had denied the request at their own hearing in August. The tower had been proposed for a small parcel adjacent to the existing Pacific Pride commercial fueling station near Highway 99E and Canby High School. The location was selected by AT&T engineers based on their analysis of market demands, customer complaints, service requests, and other data. Oh, also, the pole was made to look like a tree. Did we forget to mention that? AT&T elected to design a stealth monopole, which would be disguised as a Douglas fir, because the company felt it would be more aesthetically pleasing. Not everyone agrees with that, as Canby resident Virginia Weller demonstrated in her comments before the council last week.
I think it's really ugly. I talked to a man outside that had already been in here earlier for about the neighborhood, and he said that he used to build, or, you know, I don't know, had something to do with cell tower construction, and he said he thought the ones that were all decorated like trees were completely even more gross than the regular ones, because he used to do it all the time. They don't look real, they don't look natural, and this one is going to stick out like a sore thumb, as you could see in the pictures that you had.
AT&T's attorney, Sarah Springer, defended her client, saying engineers had gone through several rounds of design with the help of city staff to deliver a final product that was as realistic as possible.
Our team did work with staff after the pre-op meeting to add additional kind of design changes to the tree to try to make it look more tree-like, unless I think at the time somebody likened it to a Q-tip or a mascara wand, which was pretty accurate actually for the initial outlook. So extending the tree branches further down so there's not as much of a visible trunk showing, branching it out a little bit. You know, it's not a perfect science. It's like finding an artificial Christmas tree. Some of them look really fake, some of them look more real.
In the end though, even she admitted, quote, "It's not a real tree and it will never be a real tree." She said AT&T would be willing to construct a traditional cell tower if that's what the council wanted. However, several councilors said they preferred the stealth design. The Planning Commission had denied the application for several reasons, including the proximity to the existing fuel pumps, the possible availability of more suitable properties that would still fall within the targeted service area, and the impacts of telecommunication waves on people's health, even though federal law preempts local jurisdictions from denying applications based on this concern. At the city council meeting, Springer demonstrated that the tower would not actually be as close to the Pacific Pride fuel pumps as planning commissioners had thought, based on earlier estimates. She also confirmed that there are no other properties available for this project. The properties exist, but their owners are not interested in leasing them to AT&T. The majority of councilors said that they are willing to overrule the Planning Commission based on this new evidence, but two, Council President Tim Dale and Councilor Trigvi Berge, did not. Among other things, Berge, an experienced commercial developer by trade, expressed concerns about the project's breakpoint design. This is intended to cause the pole to fall over on itself in the event of a structural failure, rather than collapsing onto neighboring properties. But Berge questioned whether it would function as designed. Health and safety were also big concerns for him.
When I look at where that location is, right now, there's some safety risks. Breakpoint technology sounds great, looks great on paper. Do we know how it really works in real life? I know that we're not allowed to think about the health risks to it, and honestly, I'm not even thinking about the health risks. I'm thinking about the safety risks of it. The safety of that area is a lot of students walking to and from school all the time.
The vote to approve the project was 4-2. To see renderings of what the monopole would look like, visit our website, cambynowpod.com.
The Oregon Court of Appeals has granted a temporary stay to Governor Kate Brown's 180-day ban on flavored nicotine products, thanks to an emergency petition successfully filed last week by a Cambie law firm. Just to be clear, however, the ban against flavored vaping products containing recreational cannabis remains in force. Attorney J. Ryan Adams of Tyler Smith & Associates filed a petition Wednesday on behalf of his clients No Moke Daddy LLC, which does business as the Division Vapor Vape Shop in Portland, and its owner, Paul Bates. It was one of two petitions for injunctions against Governor Kate Brown and the Oregon Health Authority seeking judicial review of the ban. The Oregon Court of Appeals granted the stay on Thursday afternoon. In the petition, Adams and his firm argued that No Moke Daddy, along with approximately 4,000 similarly situated businesses, would be forced to close their doors if the temporary ban was allowed to take effect. Governor Kate Brown overstepped her executive authority when she directed the Oregon Health Authority to enact an outright ban on all flavored vaping products, Adams said in an emailed statement. Without the court's intervention, thousands of Oregonians would be jobless right now. And he's not just blowing smoke. Okay, Frankie, funny joke. Independently owned and operated vape shops are one of the greatest small business success stories of our time and the single fastest growing retail segment of the past decade. Adams's argument, though, wasn't simply that the ban should be stayed for economic reasons or for the financial impact it would have on business owners and employees who may be affected by it. The real question is whether the governor overstepped her legal authority when she directed state agencies to enforce this ban. We believe she did not, and we are grateful that the Court of Appeals intervened, Adams explained. Oregonians should understand that this isn't about just vaping. It's about what the governor has the power to do without permission from the citizens. All Oregonians should be paying attention. We are citizens, not subjects. Brown's executive order imposing the temporary ban had followed a widespread outbreak of acute lung injuries that have been linked to the use of both marijuana and nicotine vape products. More than 1,300 cases have been reported across the country, with 26 deaths. Two of those were here in Oregon. At Governor Brown's insistence, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission approved temporary rules that were scheduled to take effect Tuesday, October 15th, removing all flavored vape products off the shelves of approximately 4,000 retailers across the state.
The future of a proposed bike pedestrian Willamette River crossing between Lake Oswego and Oak Grove may be in jeopardy. This follows a lengthy hearing by Clackamas County commissioners last week. They expressed that support for the project was tepid at best. The bridge would be built in the 10-mile stretch that currently has no river crossing between the Selwood Bridge in Portland and the Ark Bridge in Oregon City. It would turn what could be between a 20 to 45 minute car ride, depending on traffic, into a 15 minute trip by bicycle. The project has been in the county's transportation system plan since 2013 and appears to have enjoyed public support until recently. A survey the county conducted as part of a Metro-funded feasibility study with over 600 respondents found 63% were in favor, with only 28% opposed. The cost of the bridge is estimated at between $30 to $50 million, depending on the final alignment and design that county leaders ultimately settle on. But, based on last week's hearing, the project may no longer have commissioners' support. The big turning point was when Metro officials asked Clackamas County to explore the possibility of adding transit to the project, specifically a light rail line. Such an addition would double the cost, while significantly impacting public support for the project, particularly in the immediate surrounding neighborhoods. The idea was a non-starter, according to Commissioner Ken Humberston.
When this was first proposed, and people were asked what they thought about it, there was relatively strong support. And even people who were not particularly supportive, it was just a bicycle and pedestrian bridge, which is relatively minor impact on neighborhoods. And I think that that's what we're dealing with here, is the impact on neighborhoods. Whoever, and I don't know who it was, and it doesn't matter at this moment in time, but whoever put transit on the table, threw some serious sand in the gears for any constructive discussion on how you would do a bike-ped bridge, and understandably so, because I don't think residential neighborhoods are looking to have a bunch of transit situations impacting their neighborhood in the way that motor vehicle traffic does, quite frankly.
Another major concern by commissioners is how the bike-pedestrian bridge, if approved, might affect funding available for other projects they deem higher priority, mainly increasing capacity on the county's most traveled highways. Much of the discussion centered on T2020, a proposed transportation investment measure that Metro is seeking to put before voters in the November general election. Clackamas County commissioners have several projects that they would like to see included, namely upgrades to the Sunrise Corridor, safety improvements and repairs on Highway 43, and a parking garage on Park Avenue in Milwaukee. County Chair Jim Bernard said that he wasn't interested in pushing ahead on the bike pedestrian bridge if it meant sacrificing funding or political capital that could be used to realize the parking garage or a key highway project. The local opposition that has more recently come to light was also a major concern for him. One he summed up in a metaphor that some find a little confusing.
I ran for this office to build bridges, not walls. This bridge is a wall. And it's divided the community, and I don't think we want to build walls. So the public process has not obviously gone well. Suddenly, there's a bunch of people who know about this that didn't know about it before. So before this goes anywhere, we need a better public process.
So where do we stand for the project now? Well, we know for sure that transit is out. Commissioners made it perfectly clear that they would not support a proposal that includes anything but the capacity for bike and pedestrian traffic, although first responders could use the route in an emergency. They also directed staff to find the best and most cost-effective design and alignment of the dozen or so that have been discussed to this point. This would be presented for a final round of public input before a final decision is made.
Clackamas Community College has been awarded a $2.2 million grant to help expand their ability to serve low-income students. In the highly competitive grant process by the U.S. Department of Education, CCC's proposal earned a nearly perfect score of 105.7 out of 106. The five-year grant will empower CCC to expand its Guided Pathways model, which the college is in the process of implementing. Guided Pathways is a movement that will change how students experience their educational journey and successfully meet their goals. It's a strategy that helps students on a path, helps them stay on the path, and complete the path. This college-wide approach will help students reach their goals while saving both time and money. Using grant funding, the college will hire navigators to assist students from the time they express interest in CCC through the end of their first term. A peer assistant program will be revitalized to support services to first-term students. Weekly workshops will help students learn about and navigate CCC. The college will also scale up its first-year experience FYE course, which is a critical course where students learn how to take notes, plan their education, reach their career goals, discover college resources, create financial plans, and build relationships. The grant will also allow the college to bring on some new staff, including a project director, a lead navigator, two navigators, a peer assistant coordinator, and a career services coach. These positions will be spread across the life of the five-year grant. In other CCC news, the college will be hosting its job fair for the fall from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Tuesday in the Gregory Forum at the Oregon City campus. This event is an all-industry career fair where local employers with full-time, part-time employment and internship opportunities connect with CCC students, alumni, and local job seekers. This free event is open to students, alumni, and the public. Nearly 60 employers are participating in the fall job fair in banking, human services, law enforcement, child development, electronics engineering, construction, healthcare, and other industries. For a full list of employers, visit clackamas.edu/careerfair.
It was an emotional night Thursday as the Cambie Cougar women's soccer team hosted Lake Oswego for a match that was all about their junior captain. Ellie Shorter was recently diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma and has vowed to fight. Fortunately, she's bringing an army with her. They call themselves Ellie's Army, and they came in force Thursday night to show their support for Ellie on the long road ahead. There was a lot of purple on display, as hundreds wore shirts and sweatshirts displaying the words Ellie's Army, We Fight Together, and hashtag Ellie Strong. On the field, Cambie battled hard but ultimately fell to Lake Oswego, 5-3, with goals scored by sophomores Joey Baggio, Mallory Scott, and McKenna Spear. The Cambie men's soccer team has come on strong lately, as they've won two of their last three, including coming away with a big victory on the road at Lake Oswego Thursday. The lone score came early in the second half when freshman defender Cristobal Esquivel put a cross in the box and Sergio Rodriguez buried the ball in the back of the net to put the Cougars up 1-0. From there, the team held strong to preserve the shutout, with the most dramatic moment being a terrific save by senior goalkeeper Zach Hiedema with about 3 minutes left in the game. The Cougars improved to a 3-5-1 in Three Rivers League play and headed to Oregon City on Tuesday before hosting Tigard for senior night on Thursday. It was a busy week for Cambie Volleyball as they won both league games against St. Mary's and Lake Ridge, then traveled to Westland Saturday for a non-league tournament, where they split their match against Central Catholic in Oregon City. Only two foes remain on their schedule as they draw Westland on the road Tuesday, then wrap up the regular season at home Thursday versus Tualatin. As the 15th-ranked team in the state, the Cougars are solidly in the playoffs but could improve their seeding with a couple more wins. Strong showings for Cambie's cross-country teams this week as they traveled to Lake Oswego for matchups against Tigard and St. Mary's. Cambie proved themselves the best of the bunch, winning the men's varsity, women's varsity, and men's junior varsity races overall. As per usual, the women's team was paced by seniors Isabella Kasalik and Jennifer Torres, who finished second and third. The men were led by senior Matthew Powell, sophomore Tommy O'Neill, and junior Riley Pittman, who came in second, third, and fourth. In football, the Cougars headed to Lake Oswego to face the number 2 ranked team in the state, and they tried very hard. The Cougs' lone score came late in fourth when backup quarterback Andrew Peters connected with sophomore wide receiver Matthew Solis. The Cougars have looked much better under first-year head coach Jimmy Joyce, but have yet to find their first win as they've battled through one of the toughest schedules in 6A. Their last two games, however, are both winnable as they host 2-5 Oregon City this Friday and Roseburg, also 2-5, for a non-league match to wrap up the season.
Are you a small business owner or maybe thinking of investing in yourself with your very own startup? Awesome! Now all you have to do is reach potential customers at a time when consumers have never been more fragmented, more distracted, or more difficult to reach. If that sounds hard, believe me, it is.
That's why I make Frankie do it.
Carrie and her team at Promotional Strategies offer strategic, purposeful solutions to build your brand with lasting promotional items that make sense for you and your company. They are creative geniuses who will deliver advertisements that people actually thank you for and will use every day. We've tried other sellers, and we trust Carrie to provide high-quality branded items that we can be proud of. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com. Hey, Tyler, did you know that the world has changed in the past 20 years?
No way!
Yep, it's true. The way people shop for goods and services has completely changed since this thing called the internet started catching on.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And yet some realtors still offer the same old services in the same old ways and for the same old percentages. Victory Point Property Group in Canby believes it's time the real estate business caught up with the times. They'll meet with you for free, explain every step of the process, give you a clear game plan, and even let you choose the listing commission.
Really? They let you choose their commission?
Really? Victory Point Property Group understands this is one of the biggest and most exciting decisions of your life, and they'll do everything they can to make sure you handle it like a rock star.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm going to check them out by calling 503-263-4700 or by visiting online at victorypointhomes.com.
You do that. Victory Point Property Group, real estate reimagined. All right, well, I'm sitting here and now here the studios in Canby with Mike Sublett. He's one of the owners and founders of Odd Mo's Pizza, or as it came to be known here in Canby, odd that they're not open yet, Mo's. Or odd that those doors are still closed.
Yeah.
They've been through quite the ringer over the past year for a variety of different reasons, but they are now officially open in the former Cascadia Pizza location and kind of the Safeway, that whole development. And you guys are doing takeout and delivery, and you've had a lot of great community support, I know, which has been awesome just in the past couple weeks that you've been open.
Yep, new faces every day.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you were so gracious to come into the studio and bring some food. No one does that, which, I mean, that needs to change pretty quick. I'm really excited, but yeah, why don't we kind of talk about what you brought us here and... maybe that'll give you the chance to share sort of what your menu is like and what people might experience at Odd Mo's here in Canby. If you can turn your cell phone off.
that's my theme music. That's like my intro.
There it is, right?
That's
yeah, don't even have to pipe that in. Thank you so much.
Clearly I'm not used to being on air.
So where do you want to start?
Well, let me see. Right here we got cheesy garlic bread, which is probably one of our signature items that most people recognize us for as they get to know our company. It's a little bit different than most other, you know, companies. I mean, it's just kind of our own unique style. We make our garlic white sauce from scratch and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And use fresh garlic.
It looks amazing.
So it... But
I love a cheesy bread. That's like my favorite thing. When I was a kid, I would just want cheesy bread, not even, you know, same.
Well, I was going to say, if you want to do this on air, then you're going to sit here and make all that noise.
I don't care. People are just going to have to deal with it. We're going to be eating. It's going to be gross.
This is like that trial run of, you know, having food while we're doing this.
It is.
But no, it's, you know, we put our, we have aged mozzarella that we use, and that's just what we use for our pizzas as well. And
you said it's one of your more popular?
Yeah. High school students really enjoy it and stuff. In McMinnville, where we started, where we do have a high school right next to our store as well, which is similar to Canby, of course. You know, we sell, you know, 30 or 40 cheese breads a day.
Yeah.
And then like three or four pizzas. Yeah. So
that is really good. I can see why it's popular. Yeah, it's got a really good flavor to the sauce and a lot of it. Like, it's not just like a little bit of splash of the sauce. The cheese is really good. You can tell that it's some quality cheese.
Yeah, it's just different. You know, it's a different take on cheesy garlic bread. And, but so there's that. Let me see. And then I brought our newest item, which is, we do a six pack of meatballs as an appetizer.
Okay.
And I had.
It is a little bit unusual for a pizza place, but I guess there's the Italian connection and all that.
Well, I went to New York this last year.
Let's get these out.
And
you gotta eat with me too. I feel like such a fatty sitting here eating by myself, Mike. Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't really...
It's starting to make me wonder if it's poison or sheriff. Something. You're like, here, eat this. Now eat
this. We're going to share a fork here.
Yeah, right?
But no, I went to New York, and I had to go to, like, one of the original places. And I thought, you know, I really wanted to... Because everywhere I go, my wife, my poor wife, I'm telling you, everywhere we go, she's like, are we going to have pizza today? Like, yeah, let's try out a new spot, you know?
Because she loves pizza or because she's sick of pizza?
Well, I love to do research. I like to see how people do what they do. And I've been a student of the industry for... Well, you know, 33 years now, and so, and I really enjoy it, and so I like to see, you know, how other people do it, and I try to connect with managers and owners and other people that are in the industry, you know, and
do you find that it's an industry that people are pretty receptive to that?
It's a hit and miss.
Yeah.
I'm wide open, you know? But, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit for them to break down the walls of, like, you know, why is he asking me all these questions? Right. What is his angle? And... And then once
they feel that they're like lying to you, like, oh, we do this, but it's actually the opposite. Like,
so I just,
you know, we just give our pizzas away for free. You should try that. Like, yeah. Although you actually do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like to enjoy it. And so I think it's kind of a long road mentality versus the try to get what you can.
Cool. And so you learned about this from research?
I went to the New York place and I ordered, you know, pizza and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they had like, some meatballs on the menu. I'm like, oh man, I gotta have that. Yeah. You know, and it just sounded really good to me, and that became the highlight of my dinner that night. And so I was like, that is pretty cool, and it just kind of kept rumbling around in the back of my mind. And we just wanted to try something a little different, and we had a tap house that wanted to do a special with us, but they wanted something a little different because we're right next door to them, and so they get the same fare. And so I said, well, why don't we just do a test run of those meatballs, or, you know, do some stuff. And so we ordered a variety of kinds and did that. And it was a huge hit. Mm. And so we just thought, well, let's try it. And that was the end of that. And so then now we are just trying it. It's not even on our menu yet.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
But so I thought I'd bring those.
Yeah.
And then I brought you two different kinds of
pizzas, a double pizza.
Kind of a half standard pizza, pepperoni and sausage. And
yeah.
I thought, like, our sausage, we don't use the pre-cooked stuff. We use an actual good raw pull sausage and fresh beef. And so it's a little different. And then I brought you kind of a more of a unique style that we do. And it's got a chipotle lime barbecue sauce on it with chicken.
Chipotle lime barbecue sauce.
Yeah, with chicken, breakfast bacon, sausage, and then some pineapple. And
that looks amazing. I'm not a Hawaiian
pineapple.
Pizza
You're
guy,
saying the pineapple,
but this looks amazing. Yeah, well, I can't wait to try that.
I put light pineapple on there because I thought, well, I got to at least have it the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. So it does look a little light on the pineapple. Let's do the meatballs. All right. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. We're gonna share a fork. Be very romantic here.
Yeah. I've only had about. Yeah.
We're gonna pipe in the Lady and the Tramp music. You're pretty quick. Get some Botticelli.
Go ahead, I'll let you try first.
Thank you so much.
You got cupcakes back here. I think I'll
just try. That's for dessert for after.
I'll do a straight trade for cupcakes.
that was from a different event that's going to be elsewhere on the podcast, but there was a ribbon cutting for this downtown store.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you guys got a new sandwich place that opened up that I've been hearing good things about too, so.
Oh my gosh, that is so good. That's one of the best meatballs I've ever had.
Well, we tested out a punch,
wow,
but I'm
that
kind
is
of
so tender. That is really good.
I kind of, you know, we found this one. I kind of fell in love with this one, so it's got like some ricotta in there and some stuff. So
that is really good. Good cheese blend, and it is unusual. You don't think like, oh, I'll have an appetizer that's just a tray of meatballs and cheese. You think of meatballs as something that goes as part of a pasta dish, but it really works. Yeah.
Yeah, something a little different, but I didn't know. I had a lot of stuff I was just figuring out we could bring you, but, you know, because we talked about just kind of a variety of stuff, but you look around, you're like, I don't know. So I just grabbed some.
I don't think you could have gone too wrong. So one thing that's part of your style, you guys do, like you've kind of been talking, everything from scratch, like the crust and stuff like that. Talk a little bit more kind of about your...
Well, we do everything as handmade as you can.
Now.
Yeah, you can... It just, I don't know where to start. Well, I'm big on cheese. I mean, I think a good cheese is a good thing. I think that there's three standards in any pizza, and And then there's some changes. I'll start with the dough. Okay. A lot of times people ask me if it's a New York or Chicago style and things like that, and
yeah.
and if it's going to taste like that. And this is what's really interesting about dough is it's a very simple product in a lot of ways. But one of the major differences between East Coast and West Coast pizza, because we kind of say we have a Northwest style pizza, and people always ask me about that.
Right.
But it's the water. You know, we have fantastic water out here, you know, okay. and like even like when you don't have to really have to filter beer yeah. and do things like that. Because
a bunch of Cambie people just got mad at you. But
oh, sorry.
Yeah, we get a lot of complaints about the Cambie water. But anyway, I know what you're saying. Yeah, with the resources we have in our
yeah.
state. Yeah, for sure.
And so it's good there. So we have a really good flavored dough, and it's and then our cheese is really good. And then our sauce, you know, we make up, you know. Clearly we're not growing our own tomatoes, but
yeah.
You know, we mix up what I would consider some of the best base tomato product that's out there.
You got to vary.
And then we put our own spices and seasonings in it, and you know, fresh basil, fresh oregano.
Yeah. Part of kind of your brand seems to be the community feel. You've got a very loyal following. Kind of an interesting story, I think, that you were telling me last time we met off the recorder. But just the connection with, you mentioned the high school, but also Linfield. Mm-hmm. And kind of how that was built very, like, very kind of person to person, and just being there for kids and people with mm-hmm. what they needed with good food. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, Kelly Bird was the AD for Linfield back in the day, and he had came in and tried us out, and we got to chat a little bit, and we ended up giving him a couple free pizzas to give to the incoming freshmen.
Yeah.
He does it where he stands up and speaks about him as an introduction to Linfield and things, and he gives away different, you know.
That'd be the student athletes or just mm-hmm. students, yeah.
And then gives away some free pizzas and stuff like that is what we did with him. And that just kind of started it. And then from there, we got to know a little bit more about, you know, what Linfield is doing and how they're doing it. And over those years, because it takes a little while to kind of really get yourself integrated into a community. Then eventually we started giving pizzas away at football games and, you know, they have a bunch of soccer camps and things yeah. like that. And you get to know the teachers and the professors and things like that. And again, it just kind of comes down to, you know, what they need, what we can and can't do. Mm-hmm. And then we just bridge those gaps.
Awesome.
And it's, I think community is pretty simple. You just, to become a part of it, you just become a part of it. Mm. You know?
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Don't wait to be invited. Yeah. It means that a lot of times you will be invited, you know, especially yeah. in a friendly place like Cambie, but you can also just show up and all of a sudden you're part yeah. of the community. Yeah.
And it's hard. It just takes time. But, you know, we're excited about it. It's I love the small town feel.
Yeah. So we're going to try the pizza. I'm going to try this. What is this one called?
It's called the Bull Rider.
Okay, the Bull Rider. That's the one with the sausage and the bacon and is it chicken?
Yes.
And the barbecue lime mm-hmm. sauce and the gross pineapple. So okay. I'm going to try this one first, just in case I hate it, because I know I'll like the pepperoni one. So.
All right. And I'm just going to mow on the cheese bread.
That's really good. That is a good sauce. It's not like a... Sometimes barbecue can be, like, very overpowering. Like, mm-hmm. it's a lot more subtle. The lime does come through. And the meat mix that you've got on there is just fantastic. I hardly even noticed the pineapple, so good job with that.
It's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it just adds a little bit of that. You know, it's nice to have that complimentary flavors yeah. with the different things.
You guys have a bunch of different sauces, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, like 8 or 9. Like,
but we do... the red, of course, mm-hmm. and then we have our signature garlic white sauce, and then we've added, when we first started out, I wanted to do something a little different at some of the different other areas, and we had a taco pizza that we liked, and we ended up putting a fresh sauce on it instead of, like, the typical, like, taco seasoning sauce.
Interesting, okay.
And so we did a fresh salsa. That really,
like a
that
pretty
really...
tomato-y based mm-hmm. salsa? Okay.
Yeah, so it really kind of brightened up that pizza, so yeah. we liked that, and then... And people always like that barbecue chicken pizza, mm-hmm. but to me, it's hard to make that kind of, I mean, it's a pretty simple pizza, And so originally our barbecue chicken pizza was just, you know, barbecue sauce, but I wanted to make it spicy barbecue. So we created it where you could add levels of heat to it. And so through the years, it's transitioned into what we have now.
Really good. I kind of feel you on the barbecue chicken pizza. Like, to me, it always seems like somebody got confused, like like they were trying to make like some kind of just barbecue chicken or some kind of normal dish, and somehow it wound up on top of a pizza and it doesn't really belong. Like,
you'd be amazed at some of the pizzas that are out there that people do.
Yeah,
you know, there's a couple places they got like a Thai peanut sauce. There's places that do, I mean, it's a wide variety. And you know, like my favorite topping, which is weird, we don't even carry it, is linguiça.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's a great sauce. Once you have linguiça, it is a very powerful sausage. Mm-hmm. The thing is it really overpowers anything else. Mm. And so it's kind of a standalone topping. And so we've never carried it because there's not a lot of versatility to it. But it's, you know, still my favorite. But, you know, it's just we're trying to appeal to, you know, everybody in a way.
Cool.
And so we've stayed away from certain products here and there, but I get a kick out of some of the stuff I see that people do out there.
Yeah.
You know, and in our, with our company, we have this pizza called the Prospect, which is one of our combination pizzas that every location they get to do their own take on whatever they want. So we've had different pizzas that have come out that have had like a honey mustard and chicken and bacon on it, which have been pretty good. But, and then we've got some that had like an Italian dressing and things like that. So, It gives everybody in their own store an opportunity to kind of try something fun.
What's the Cambi one?
I haven't got one yet.
Haven't come out yet.
No.
It's going to have like dahlia sprinkled on top of it.
Or... I
Maybe the Cambi signature Cambi water. So.
Yeah, there you go. So what is it with the water then? Is it just...
It tastes bad. The...
I'm sorry.
It tastes bad in the summer months. And the reasons are maybe because of algae bloom, or there's like different speculation about it, and they're not sure quite how to fix it. But yeah, a lot of the, it's not harmful. It just doesn't taste good.
Just the flavor.
Yeah, just bad flavor. So it tastes kind of like a dirty flavor, and it really only seems to be in the summer months. So yeah,
that's interesting.
Well, speaking of things that hopefully tastes good. Let's move to this last one. This is, we've talked about all the weird stuff. This is just a classic cheese, pepperoni, and sausage. This is one of your most popular, one of your signature ones?
Or? Well, pepperoni goes on a lot of product. I mean, a lot of pizzas get pepperoni, but this sausage is just, I'm just fussy about my sausage. It's got to be a good sausage. So.
It's hard to screw up a pepperoni pizza.
That's pretty true.
I do like the, this is the first one that, except maybe I guess the meatballs, but they had the red sauce. I do like your sauce. It's got a really good herb mix, good flavor to it. And you guys aren't stingy with it. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to be popular with the high school kids so far.
We really haven't done, you know, all we really did was open our front door, and we've been offering by the slice. And we started with a Canadian bacon pineapple, a pepperoni, and a cheese, which are the three most popular. And then didn't have a whole lot of hits on Canadian bacon pineapple, which was interesting to me because our Hawaiian pizza that we do has been one of the most popular pizzas ordered.
Yeah.
So I thought by default, I mean, you know, the kids are probably going to really want their Canadian bacon pineapple too, but haven't had much pull for that. And so we've, but pepperoni is probably the main one.
My opinion of Canby High School's kids already pretty high, but it's just rising and rising. Smart kids we've got here in Canby.
So, but, yeah, and then we just do cheese bread. So it's just slices of pizza and cheese bread and keep it simple and just listen to what they have to say.
Cool.
And,
cool. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. Thanks for bringing pizza. Officially, no other guests can come onto our show unless they bring food, because this is just phenomenal. Very delicious. Definitely check them out. Where can folks find you or call you if they, here in Canby, if they do want to, get the delivery or take out?
You can go online. We're finally getting that set up, but just give us a call. It's okay if I give the number.
Oh, please.
It's 503-263-8444.
Yeah. We'll arrange the payment afterwards.
Nice.
Absolutely. And, There was, oh, and you guys, we didn't even get to it because you didn't bring any, but you guys deliver beer and hard cider and stuff as well, which is a little bit unusual.
We were actually the first ones in Oregon to do it. We happened to kind of fall into it. You know, it's the one of the perks about really getting to know your community and taking care of people, because a lot of people come out of the woodwork and help you when they see an opportunity for you to be successful. And so we had somebody that kind of came to us and said, hey, by the way, this law is changing. Have you guys heard about that? And I was down there that same day, and I did not leave until I was completely ready to go.
Yeah.
Because there was a variety of reasons. There was things that have happened in the industry that we couldn't take advantage of because of the style of pizza place we were. And so, but craft beer and, you know, craft ciders and stuff in Oregon, that was right in our wheelhouse. Mm. And so we kind of figured, hey, craft pizza, craft beer, it's like, and so we ran with it.
Yeah.
In fact, we've got our own, we're kind of a charity line beer series that's coming out.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to have pink cans and stuff for...
Breast cancer?
Yeah. Well, cancer in general, you know, because I just think it's more about the awareness of it. So we have four different... can in that series is going to come out for different awareness programs that we're dealing with. And so, but a brewery down in Salem is brewing it for us. And so that'll be ready here in a couple weeks. And so that's exciting. But yeah, we do that. And I'm trying to think what else. Oh, we need employees.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, slide that in. We are looking for good quality people. So.
You just pay in pizza or? And money?
I would be quite all right with that. But
looking for all different jobs or delivery people?
A little bit of everything. Yeah. You know, I mean, mostly delivery just because that gives you the versatility, even if you have somebody inside, but they're able to take deliveries. And the only thing about that is with the beer, you have to be 18 or older.
Yeah.
And so, so we're looking for 18 or older and just responsible. And
awesome. Call that same number.
Yeah,
I'm going to say it again.
Or 503-263-8444. Or they can just come into the store. Cool. So.
Great. Well, last question. Where does the name come from?
When we first opened the company, we tried to give you a little backstory. We wanted to kind of grow within. And Our managers, we wanted to turn into franchisees, and we had finally gotten to a point in our company that we could look into doing that, and found out that the name we had, which was Primetime Pizza back in the day, we couldn't trademark. It was too common. And so we had to come up with a name. And so we went on this search to find a name. And at this time, my sister got ill, and she... and I used to not be able to get through this story.
Like, picturing you and your partner, like... in a huge dusty library, flipping through trademark books, like this, like epic montage with like epic music playing in the background. Like
it is not easy. It is not easy to go through that process. But she gotten a cat, kind of a comfort cat at that time, which was an orange cat out of a litter of like six black cats, and they called the cat Odd Mo. And so. As through the process, you know, I couldn't get that cat's name out of my head. I thought that was just the most unique. And my sister was known for that. I mean, she had names like Kitty Fur Pig, and I mean, just she was known for that.
Thank God you didn't go with Kitty Fur Pig. Well, that would have sold like a lead balloon. Yeah.
So, I approached my business partner and says, "Hey, what if I was to create a character, and we would use Odd Mo as kind of his, you know, his name, Mo, and being like, you know." And so there was a pitcher back in the 70s called Mark Fidrich. They used to call him the Bird. And he was a really kind of above the game in ways. And he used to, like, talk to the baseball. He used to used to make little mounds around the mound. And so I thought...
Yeah, there are all these great, like, colorful, possibly insane, like, pitchers from that era. Yeah, that would do weird stuff or that would just, like... be insanely like mad for no reason. Like
well, you know, you had the Mad Hungarian Grabowski, and you had, you know, the Spaceman, and Manny Wood is probably the most recent one that was kind of its own unique. You know. But the thing about baseball that we've always liked, and that's kind of why we framed our company, is they're professional, they have history, there's depth, it's, you know, they've maintained that quality of presentation and things. But underneath the uniform is just a bunch of knuckleheads.
Yeah.
And so really that's kind of our company is we're a very calico company full of people that come from a lot of different places. And so
cool.
I think baseball and the way we did the company's kind of fit that framework. And So we're pretty happy.
Yeah.
But that's where it came from. And
Yeah, especially like 30, 40 years ago, baseball is the only sport where like I could legitimately, like not in terms of actual talent, but you could sort of see like that person looks like, you know, a little bit more like me. Like I could possibly be that. There's no way I could ever be like a 6'8 basketball player or something like that. But yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much again. I'm so happy for you guys that you're finally open and able to make this delicious pizza. Like I said, definitely check them out next time you're looking for pizza and or craft beer and cider. So.
No, I appreciate you having me. I really do.
We're going to just keep eating this delicious food. So.
Yeah, I was going to say we're just going to have to...
we're going to turn the recorder off.
You know, Halloween will be here before you know it. Heck, the decorations are already in the stores. So I've got a scary good deal for you. DirectLink is offering 50% off their blazing fast internet speeds now through All Hallows Eve. Not only will you get a sweet candy corn of a deal, but every one of their broadband connections comes with unlimited data, free. And that's no trick. So switch to DirectLink to stream and surf as much as you like. Plus, take advantage of free Wi-Fi home networking for 6 months with free installation of commercial-grade Wi-Fi equipment that ensures your entire home has the strongest, most consistent signal in every room. Talk about a treat. Call 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop for blazing fast internet.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Canby. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate and we saved him 14 grand in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800 or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler or they stop in.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Derek.
You bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599, Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183, Equal Housing Opportunity.
We're on the line now with Lauren Bell. He's a local attorney and also the chair of the Canby Educational Foundation, which has a big fundraiser and a really cool event coming up this week, right, Lauren?
That's correct, Tyler. It's on October 24th. That's this coming Thursday at Oakview Acres. It's called the Taste of Autumn.
Yeah, and I think this is a fifth annual one, right?
I think that's correct. It's our annual fundraiser that we have for the Canby Educational Foundation.
Okay, cool. So Oakview Acres, it's a really beautiful venue located off of Maxburg Road.
And, it is.
Yeah, it's just going to be a fundraiser. I guess tell folks what the CEF does if people aren't familiar.
You bet. We were founded, or the Educational Foundation is just what it says. It was founded back in 1997. There was two local citizens who really, I guess you could say they wished to benefit not only the current but future Canby students. So back in 1997, through some endowments from these folks, they provided the funds and a board was created by Roger Reif to manage those funds. Yeah, so Roger was a longtime Canby resident, educator, and attorney that him and his family. Used to be. He's retired now. But he started it, thankfully. And since its inception back in 1997, the CEF, we've been able to grant probably $1 million or more in grants to the Canby School District.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
so it's
amazing.
It's a great foundation, if I do say so myself. I'm a little biased because I am the chair and been on the board for several years now.
You know what, counselor? We're going to forgive that. So we'll allow
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, but we have a board of volunteers and along with some help, professional help, we manage these funds and try to keep them going, if you will. So we have a certain amount that we budget each year to give away to those folks. It's usually teachers who come to us.
Okay.
And they make a grant request. They fill out a simple application, and they come talk to us to tell us why they need some more funds for the kids. And the board makes a decision regarding those grant requests to make sure they meet our parameters. And we provide additional money for the Canby School District. It's actually a lot of fun. It's a great organization. So this, what's coming up here on October 24th at Taste of Autumn is just, we only have one fundraiser, and it's this. Mm. It's the Taste of Autumn.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's great. I mean, the school funding is so tight nowadays, and districts have to scrape and fight for every cent just to get the basics, you know.
You bet.
And that makes it impossible a lot of times for teachers to do maybe some of the more unique, some of the more creative, and frankly, you know, a lot of times some of the more lasting and memorable things that students experience because every dollar has to go through the just getting that baseline knowledge and the state standards and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So you guys are there to kind of bring some of that back, and that's really cool. So tickets are $50 because obviously this is a fundraiser, but also the meal sounds pretty high class. So it's Taste of Autumn. It's prepared by G Gourmet is the caterer, right?
Correct.
Can you talk a little bit about the food? I haven't been. I don't know where my invite must have got lost in the mail, Lauren.
You're invited right now, and there's still time to buy tickets, so don't try to get out that way.
Oh, okay.
But you can go to buy tickets or to see more about the event if you're interested, and we really hope you are. You can go to our website at Canby. I should have it right here, but it's our website's at canbyedfoundation.org. And you can obviously Google Canby Educational Foundation, Canby, Oregon. Our website will come up really easy to find out about the Taste of Autumn and to purchase tickets, make donations. You can buy a single ticket or you can buy a table if you wish. We hope that you do. We still have room. Back to the food from G Gourmet. I wish I could tell you more about all the accolades of G Gourmet and everything they've done and won, et cetera, but I'm just going to tell you that I had their food last year and it was excellent. So it's well worth the ticket. Not only do you get food, but there's beverages available. We also have a lot of donations from folks that are making baskets to auction off. And usually things pop up right at the end. I can't guarantee you, but wine will pop up to be auctioned off, et cetera. And it's a great time on Thursday, and really we are there just to raise more money so we can give back to the Canby School District and the teachers, etc.
Cool. A great opportunity to invest in our kids, invest in our local students and their success, and also have a great time and some good food is nothing to complain about.
Absolutely not.
Well, thanks so much for telling us about it, Lauren. I appreciate it.
You bet. Tyler, thanks for having me on.
Canby's newest downtown store was welcomed into the local business community this week as Chamber of Commerce members gathered for a traditional ribbon cutting at the Barn Door Boutique and Decor. We stopped by the event and had the chance to chat for a few minutes with Lacey McGraw, the store's owners and one of its many handcrafted vendors.
We're here at the Barn Door Boutique and Decor with the owner, Lacey McGraw. Hi, Lacey.
Hi.
Just celebrated a ribbon cutting. It's only 6 months or so late, right?
Yeah, that is right.
Better late than never. Yes. So tell us a little bit about your store and how it's been since you opened back in April, was it?
Yes, okay. It was April, and it's been great. We've had so much support from the community, and our online sales have been going good.
Oh, really? Awesome. Yeah. And that's how it started?
Yes. So about a couple years ago, I started online, actually, with my leather business, and then it just slowly evolved into what it is now.
Lacey Lou's Leather.
Yeah, Lacey Lou Leather Bands, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, you got like a million Instagram followers. Yeah. I'm super jealous. But anyway, so but the brick and mortar, that transition.
Yeah, it was smooth. I mean, at first, I think with any transition, you have your bumps and stuff in the road. But it's all smoothed out now. And it's really nice to be here. And yeah.
Yeah, cool. So tell a little bit about, for folks that haven't had a chance to stop and visit, about what they can find here.
Okay. So if you haven't had a chance to stop in and visit and you're looking for anything from gifts to home decor, clothing, small trinkets, handmade items, you'll find, you know, a wide variety of that stuff here. All of our clothing is hand-picked from markets that we go to across the U.S. Our handmade items are from local vendors here in Oregon. And then our home decor is a mix of new and vintage items that we pick up around the U.S.
Awesome. And definitely caters to kind of the Western motif.
Yeah,
a little
bit
of the rodeo fans are going to find some stuff they like here.
Yeah, we like the Western farmhouse vibe. So that's what we're going for.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks so much, Lacey, and good luck on all your success.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Barn Door Boutique and Decor is located on North Ivy Street next to Oliver Insurance. For photos from this week's event, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/cambynow.
Located just off the corner of 13th and South Ivy is one of the most magical places on earth, Puddin' River Chocolates. That's where Chief Chocolatier Teresa Sassy and her team of employees hand make some of the richest, most delicious gourmet chocolates you can find anywhere. Yeah. That's right. Willy Wonka wishes he was this good. Teresa uses the highest quality free trade cocoa from around the globe and locally sourced hazelnuts, berries, and other ingredients to create world-class confections that are a treat to the eyes and the taste buds. And they do more than chocolate. The classic fondue is an ideal blend of Swiss cheese, wine, and spices that you have got to try. Puddin' River's creations make a great gift for a loved one, or hey, for yourself, because you know what? You deserve it. I deserve it, Frankie! Find them at PuddinRiverChocolates.com.
The Camby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
Camby Now Podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
Huge thank you as well to our supporters on Patreon. We rely on your monthly contributions to continue to do this work that we seriously love. For information on how you can become one of the coolest people in the world, a patron of the Camby Now podcast, visit cambynowpod.com/plus.